If you like baseball, then this is your show. Noah and Brian and Adam will host. Trashing on the umps and making hot takes. We love Joe Panic because he rakes.
Yeah!
It's Nonstop Baseball Podcast. It's Nonstop Baseball Podcast.
What is up, everybody, and welcome back to episode 124 of the Nonstop Baseball Podcast, a monumental episode, not just the Soto episode, but of course the Ohtani 700 million
episode. You mean the Jung Ho Lee episode, right?
The Jung Ho Lee episode as well.
Did I pronounce that right?
Let's be honest. It's the Tyler O'Neill episode.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, for sure.
I am Noah, joined as always by Brian and Adam. This might be, we'll get into some of the details of it, but one of the worst like periods between podcasts for the three of us collectively that there's ever been. So Brian, how's it going?
You know, just absolutely lovely. If we recorded this podcast about 24 hours ago, I would have had a very different approach to this episode and a very different mindset. But right now, I'm great. Not ideal.
Yeah.
But I'm doing pretty great. How about you, Adam?
I think you guys think I'm more upset than I am.
I feel like you were never delusional.
Like,
yeah.
I think you had to be truly delusional to get your hopes up if you're a Jays.
But it
fan.
Got announced as happening. Like MLB, I think you were kind of doing traveling, so you kind of missed the Twitter surge, kind of like similar to the Giants and Judge last year.
Sure. Yeah. But it never got to that degree.
Yeah.
No, it was.
So MLB trade rumors announced it. And MLB trade rumors is typically very reliable, and they don't announce things that don't happen. That's why I was kind of saying you missed the like pandemonium that happened on Twitter.
Sure.
It's a pretty big word for me. Someone clapped there. But I think there was a solid hour where it was like, it was very similar to the Giants Arson Judge last year.
Okay. A whole hour. So.
I mean, yeah, that's what the Giants went through. An hour is enough to be in pain when you're going through it in real time and reading everything and being like, oh my, it actually happened, just to be told it didn't.
Sure. Yeah, I wasn't on Twitter. I really don't check Twitter much anymore, but I just heard my dad saying like, oh yeah, I think he's going to Toronto. And then he's like telling you like, oh yeah, they're tracking planes. And then when I heard that, I was like, wait, so we don't actually really know? I never got too hopeful, but then when I heard about it later, it was like announced by credible sources that it was like happening. So it's like,
I did see the whole plane saga.
The plane thing was hilarious,
which was funny.
Like the plane thing, if it was just that, and you were saying like, oh, like you think I'm gonna get sucked in and believe that, I would have agreed with you because like, there's no way you're like gonna be like, I guess the plane was just some like rich billionaire flying from LA to
some dude.
Yeah. It was just some rich billionaire.
Yeah. Anyway, all of this to just have it end up, I think, the way everyone expected it to.
It was a rather lovely period between podcasts. The Red Sox trade way fan favorite Alex Verdugo to the Yankees. The Yankees then acquire Juan Soto. And then, of course, it looks like Shohei Ohtani is going to the Blue Jays, and then he doesn't, only to sign with the Dodgers and reject basically an identical offer that the Giants offered him. It was a rough time for all three of us, considering there's a couple Dodger haters, a couple Yankee haters, and just the full throttle Red Sox. Who their owner said we're going full throttle this offseason, being nowhere to be seen.
Yeah,
trading away Verdugo.
Do they even have a lot of interest out there? Like
they don't even have interest this year.
It's wild. Man. Also, I mean, obviously Ohtani the big one, but before Ohtani, that Verdugo trade. What a just like Lamau, we hate the fans trade.
Well, I'll get that. I could get into that later more about it, but I think we should probably start with the Ohtani talk.
Of course.
10 years, $700 million to the Dodgers, basically as it was always expected. And yeah, just it's crazy. I think a credit to Baseball Doesn't Exist, who put out a video a month or two ago breaking down how much money Shohei Ohtani makes a baseball team. And he said the number should be $700 million. Like, legit said the number. And that's exactly what the number was. And I know there's some old heads going crazy over that number, but this is not a baseball player contract. This is a absolute worldwide phenom who's also the most talented baseball player ever contract. So he is making you a lot of money in terms of his player value, but then also just his star value. So yeah, yep. $700 million, though definitely shocking, especially with the arm injury and the second Tommy John. When I sat and thought about it after, didn't seem wrong to me. I don't know how you guys felt.
I mean, let's be honest. Over the next 10 years, he's only getting paid $20 million.
Which,
so it's a 10-year, $20 million contract.
Is crazy, by the way.
Hands down.
Nuts.
He is the 15th highest player on the Dodgers next year.
Yep. So,
yeah. Brian, I said, if I was a Giants fan, the news of what his contract is hands down. Easily worse news than just him signing.
For sure.
As a Giants fan, yep. You expected him to sign the whole time. But then to be like, wait, he's only getting $2 million for the next 10 years, which means the Dodgers could realistically sign Yamamoto and Soto within the next calendar year.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh.
Dude, do you know what's crazy? There's like, I think, I want to say it's year 20.
So his
39, because they've now given Mookie Betts a ton of deferrals and Ohtani the biggest deferral possible.
Yeah,
so there's a year where they're paying like $79 million for Ohtani and Mookie Betts, and Mookie Betts and Ohtani is going to be 49 and 50 years old.
Yeah, Ohtani's deferred payments.
What are we doing?
Ohtani's deferred payments end in 2043.
I'm so intrigued by what the Dodgers like. Payroll is going to look like in the 2040s.
Yeah.
Like, are they just.
But also, $50 million isn't going to be what it is now in 2040.
That's the hope, right? The idea is you're hoping that that amount of money is less impactful later on.
Okay. Another crazy question that just popped in my head. With all this deferred money, there's been a lot of talk in like previous deals between the Players Association and MLB about adding a salary cap. So if in the next 10, 15 years, we get a salary cap added and say it's like $200 million, or obviously inflation will probably be like 250, whatever, that's going to be so absurd because like the Dodgers are going to have almost a third of their salary just pushed out.
Yeah, nuts.
I don't know. From what I've heard, people always say baseball's never going to have a salary cap, blah, blah, blah. But obviously.
Ohtani got $700 million. You want to know the most mind-blowing thing about it to me? Ohtani got $700 million. The net worth of the owner of the Colorado Rockies is $700 million.
Yeah, he's worth more than some franchises.
It's just like, bro, what are we doing here?
Yeah, it's an
breaking news. Breaking news. Red Sox sign right-hander. Cooper Criswell to a $1 million contract. Criswell, 27-year-old, spent the last two seasons in Tampa Bay and was DFA'd.
Oh, yeah. We are going for it.
Playoffs full throttle.
In our future.
Full throttle.
Full throttle, dude.
Sorry. Adam said that and it made me laugh too hard. I couldn't. Full throttle.
Anyway,
that is interesting, especially with the Mookie stuff that you bring up, that it's like, I've heard there's some talk of like the Dodgers, you know, selling halfway through this Ohtani contract. So that would be rather interesting as well.
Well, yeah, that has to be insane. Like, how do those deferrals work if they trade them? Like, does the other team just absorb?
You end up with a Bobby Bonilla, right?
He has a full no trade clause. So let's be honest.
Well, like he can waive it. He's allowed.
likelihood with like how much he wants to be in LA.
Slim to none.
The only likelihood he's going to get traded to the Angels, and are the Angels really going to do that? Let's be honest.
Would be funny. That would be hilarious. Imagine, Otani leaves because Trout's still on. Trout's still on.
38-year-old Otani gets traded from the Dodgers to the Angels, and the Angels just absorb all the dead money. You know how mad I would be if that happens? If Otani ever gets traded, I think I will be more mad about that than either of these things of Otani signing the Dodgers or this crazy contract. Because if he gets traded, that means they had him for time and then the money goes elsewhere. I'll be so mad.
I don't know. My dad is just like, MLB is going to come out with something like the Dodgers can't do this. But it's also like,
Jeff Passan's tweet, it like specifically, he like broke down the part of the CBA where like teams can specifically do this. He's like, if the MLB argued it, they'd have no case.
They have nothing.
And I said, good luck finding any other person that would be in Shohei Ohtani's situation and would do that. He's putting his money where his mouth is. He's saying, I want to win, and he's showing you.
Well, and that's the thing, too. This isn't, it also came out pretty extensively. This is Shohei's idea. Shohei even said, I think given a chance, it came from Shohei's camp, he would have deferred literally all of his money.
Yeah.
He's going to
make $50 million off the field.
Right.
Too.
Sure. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, he made like $40 million in endorsements last year. Any contract money deferred, it doesn't matter. The dude's set for life. It doesn't, the contract money almost doesn't mean anything.
That's where we have the Giants news where Ohtani literally told the Giants camp, Ohtani was coming around to teams giving his offer. We're never going to see that again. But the Giants were proposed the same contract he signed with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And the Giants were willing to do it, but Ohtani wanted to be in LA, like we said earlier.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be shocked if there were multiple teams that had that offer and said, yeah.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. It truly came down to where Ohtani wanted to be. And I feel like that's what it was always going to be.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the look on the Dodgers front office face when Ohtani's camp was like, so yeah, we want $2 million a year for that. And they're just like, wait, what?
Huh?
Let's do it.
I mean, but if you think about especially LA specifically, Ohtani already has his living space. Not that he doesn't need the money, but getting the money when he's in his 40s probably isn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously, if you're just doing something like putting your money in a high yield savings account, you want the money sooner rather than later. But I mean, like I said, Ohtani's with endorsements and everything, as we mentioned, has got so much money. And, like I said, he's put his money where his mouth is. He wants to win. And he wants the Dodgers to be a great team while he's there. And he's put them in an amazing position to be that great team.
Yep.
And this is where the contract gets really weird because people were talking about the interest rate and all that. So the contract actually has that baked in. If you look at the true value of the contract, it's I think it was 440 something million.
Yeah.
And it goes to 700 because of the what do they call it? It's not interest. It's something
incentives
else. But
stuff.
It's they have that baked in where that's why it's 700 because of all the deferred. It's only going against their salary cap at 46 million a year. I think that was the number.
It's something like that. I know I had the number up at some point because it's a calculated for CBT purposes is it's 400. It's a $460 million contract.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it's 46 million per year as far as what it runs against the Dodgers books.
Yeah, so he's essentially
CBT, by the way,
cashing in
collective
on
bargaining tax. That's the luxury tax, in case anybody doesn't know.
He's just collecting on his... I mean, he's... I guess he has a fixed interest rate, essentially. Or it's not even interest, it's... I guess it's interest on the team.
Sure.
But it's a fixed number, and maybe he underperformed. I don't know. It's really weird, but Ohtani's not missing out on money by deferring it. He's getting $700 million.
No, it's a true win-win. I mean, Ohtani gives the Dodgers the room to build an even better team around him as if they needed it.
And they're literally going to be able to use Ohtani to pay for Ohtani.
Yeah. It's great. It's
just
absurd.
Just insane.
Absurd. Absurd, absurd, absurd. The Dodgers are going to be so stupid good. I hate it.
Yeah, dude. Like Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and Ohtani. That's an all-star.
That's your
team.
Top three.
Your top three is second and third place in the NL MVP voting last year, and then first place in AL MVP voting.
Yeah,
they were three of the top four in WAR in baseball.
Yeah,
like it's just absurd.
It's not. My dad was saying this. It's not just three Hall of Famers. It's three like next level Hall of Famers. Like
there's
Yeah.
They're not just stars. They're not just superstars. Like, they are the elite of the elite of modern day baseball.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's just infuriating that they're in the Giants division.
Boy, oh boy. Elite of elite. Seth Lugo, right? That's one of those big moves.
Hey. The Royals are winning the World Series, so do not talk poorly about them.
The Royals made quite a few moves.
They really did.
Splishing and splashing.
Yeah, well, yeah.
What
that joke did not like...
Oh yeah, they have fountains.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
why couldn't the Red Sox get Seth Lugo? Huh?
I don't know.
I mean, Will Smith, 3 World Series rings in a row. Now he's on the Royals.
Obviously, Royals are gonna win it.
Yep,
it's obviously that simple.
Congratulations.
Yep.
Seth Lugo, 3 years, $45 million. Good job for that guy. I mean, I did not see that coming.
I don't think anybody did.
But congratulations.
Believe it or not, I did not have Seth Lugo to the Royals for 3 years on my.
And do you know what?
Go card.
That AL Central's pathetic. So
it
good luck. Good luck.
And
Kansas
the Twins are reportedly like shaving, right? I mean, they lost Sonny Gray.
The Twins are dropping all kinds of people. It's wild.
The Guardians are bringing back Austin Hedges. Like, that division's wide open. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
dude, Ohtani. I'm pretty sure Ohtani's contract is like more than all those teams' salaries combined.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Well, definitely. There was some other weird stat about it. He's literally making more than every like those teams. I think he's making more a year. Well, when we thought it was $70 million,
sure.
Than all of those teams' salaries combined.
Yeah. But yeah, talking about the Twins. Yeah, they lose Sonny Gray. They lost Kenta Maeda, Emilio Pagan. Like they're.
Tyler Mahle still a free agent. Michael Taylor, Donovan Solano, Joey Gallo, gone.
Yep.
Donny Barrels. I love that guy.
Made good dive and stop against your Blue Jays in the playoffs, if I remember correctly, to end a game. I mean,
Tragic.
I mean, Donny Barrels just broke out too late in his career.
It's tragic. I guess we gotta. Now it's our Yankees talk time.
Yeah, next I big guess. Move. Juan Soto gets traded over to the Yankees along with Trent Grisham. Let's not forget Trent Grisham also gets dealt to the Yankees in that deal. For Michael King, Kyle Higashioka, Johnny Brito, Randy Vasquez, and Drew Thorpe. Brito, Vasquez, Thorpe, three more your prospects kind of tier.
Yeah, one of them, I don't remember which. Was
Brito.
Brito's pitched.
Brito has pitched. Brito pitched.
Yeah,
he made a few.
The Giants.
Yeah, Brito pitched a decent bit. Randy Vasquez, for what it's worth, also had a little bit of time on the major league roster. Drew Thorpe has not pitched in the majors, all three of them. So, yeah, a bunch of pitchers.
The Yankees the Padres got a little less high profile like prospects for MLB ready talent.
Yes.
Yeah. Thorpe was the 2023 Yankees minor league pitcher of the year. So I know I heard a few Yankees guys talking about being sad to see him go, but obviously very understanding. But and Yankees fans are really high on Michael King. Obviously, super talented arm has not always been the healthiest. But I mean, you waited to trade Soto, and from what I've heard, this package does seem pretty good back. But yeah, you definitely did lose some value waiting as long as they did.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, it's interesting because obviously for the Yankees, you get Soto for a year, and then he hits free agency, so you either have to extend him through at some point during this season, or you know, you're committing to try to really push for a title. So it's a high risk one for the Yankees. It's a little less risky for the Padres, but definitely feels bad, I think, if you're San Diego, to kind of obviously underperform with a superstar on paper roster this last season, and then already be like, well, time to get rid of people.
I don't know. I've heard some people kind of, I think, underselling this trade as a Yankees perspective.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Oh, the Yankees are, you know, what are they, the third best team in the division? Let's not forget, the Baltimore Orioles won like 103 games last year with Kyle Gibson as like their ace. Like, as much as I love the Orioles, I'm not banking on them winning 100 games again next year. We'll see with that young talent. But and you know, the Blue Jays are up and down. The Rays are, is Wander Franco ever going to pitch ever again? They're trying to trade Glasnow. The Red Sox are full throttle. so I think, I mean, Juan Soto is a superstar.
Oh, yeah.
And you 100%. Went from having Billy McKinney and what was it?
IKF playing in the outfield.
IKF,
yeah, it was bad.
And like, and now you have not just that superstar in Soto in your lineup and playing outfield, but also a actual league average outfielder in Alex Verdugo, and then Trent Grisham being a defensive.
They have four outfielders. They have four everyday outfielders.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's huge. This is huge for the Yankees. They obviously still need pitching, but this is an awesome presence in their lineup. They're doing what they need to be doing. Yeah, if they sign a Yamamoto or some other pitcher like that, that's I would say that I don't know if they're like firmly my front runner, but I could definitely see them making a run for that AL East. I think this is a huge move for the Yankees. Going to be a massive impact on.
No, I agree.
For their
and,
team.
And obviously, also sort of a part of that pitching conversation, Carlos Rodon, assuming he ever comes back healthy, is going to still be on that roster. So, you know. You've still got Garrett Cole, and you've still got, you know, Nestor Cortez, so you don't need that much pitching help to have a pretty good rotation.
They definitely need to go get depth, because the one thing this trade did do is it eliminated their upper minor league depth for starting. So you definitely if I'm the Yankees, you go sign a bunch of guys that are like borderline MLB minor league starters just to be there. Like, you need bodies.
Yeah. But they did get rid of Luis Severino, who is bad depth. So.
Yeah. But I think so. Like, Adam, you had said it's like kind of a big risk for the Yankees.
I shouldn't say it's a big risk. I guess it's a, but it is, I mean, it is something that can look bad in a couple of years.
Yeah. But like, if you're a team like the Yankees, if I'm a fan of the Yankees, this is the trade the Yankees be making.
Yeah. Like, no, it's Garrett a total Cole's Yankees trade.
32, something like that. Yeah. Aaron Judge is in his 30s.
If you're
now,
the Yankees, though, you are the New York Yankees.
Yep.
You do not run your organization scared. You
no,
run
I
your
agree.
Organization to bring in big names and win. And
you're
that's
sure
what, like,
Dortmund
more. Oh, yeah. But I'm specifically talking of a team like the Yankees, and Dortmund is not a team like the Yankees. They are a team like the...
They're like...
I'm trying to think of a good... They were like the Royals when they were winning World Series or going to World
Series. No, but I mean, they're one of the biggest teams in Europe, and it was more so recently, they're like parking the bus, and that is like...
And they're just becoming a development organization.
It's like, you are... Oh my God. Yeah.
they're becoming a development organization.
Yeah. You're like one of the biggest teams in Europe. You just sold like a bunch of players for so much money. Like, we should not be parking the bus during games. Like, what is this? Sorry. Tangent.
But yeah. No, I think this trade is phenomenal for the Yankees. Like, it solves a big issue. It brings in a huge bat. I mean, it gets them more lefty righty oriented. Like, they have now Rizzo and Soto. Like, they have more lefties to include in the lineup. Like, I think this is massive. There's an outside chance you can keep Soto too. Like, if Soto enjoys himself this year and they win, Like, it becomes a lot easier to sign that guy, and that guy is a generational talent. Like, he's if you're starting a draft this year, he's a top five pick. Like, if you're just starting MLB scrap fresh, he's a top five pick in my eyes.
Top five hitter, at least, for sure.
The reason I say top five pick is age. Like, you throw age in there. Sure. And all that stuff. Like,
I don't like this, like, narrative of, like, oh, but Judge is going to center field. Yeah, he's played a lot of center field over the last 2 years.
Yeah, I don't.
And it's not like the plan is to keep Judge in center field for the next 5 years. Guess what? Verdugo's a free agent after this year. If the plan is to not keep Verdugo in left field or right field forever, and then Judge in center field forever. At some point, if you're keeping Soto as well, you're getting another center fielder, and Judge is moving back to right. You know, like.
And are you gonna tell me there's not a chance like Trent Grisham can like take over center field?
No, yeah, like, I mean Trent Grisham has had good years, and he's a
really good defender. Yeah. I mean, he struggled recently, but there's an outside chance he puts it together.
Yeah,
like,
but also,
so
like,
I just
and also, like, we're in a world where Giancarlo Stanton is your DH, which means he could probably just be hurt, and then you don't even you've just got Judge as your DH.
Yeah.
Like, not even a center fielder at that point.
You could just rotate Soto and Judge taking off days at DH and let Christian play center. Like,
totally.
And then I guess. Circling back to Verdugo, when it first hit, it was frustrating. Obviously a fan favorite over the years. And you obviously the part of the Mookie trade. So you're really hoping he would be that, you know, 800 to 850 OPS guy, all-star. And he was at times, but not consistent. And just hearing more people that followed the Red Sox more closely than I did, especially at the tail end of last year, he was just a recurring problem in the clubhouse.
He got benched, right?
Multiple times throughout his Red Sox tenure. And the Red Sox were like 3 to 4 games out with like 7 weeks to go, something like that. And in a post-game interview, he was like literally counting down the weeks. And it's just like when you're on like a super successful team as the Yankees might be this year, you could have a guy kind of like that. That's kind of, I don't know. Just like, he's just, I don't know, a lollygagger a little, if
sure.
you will.
Yeah.
Cause you know, there's incentive to snap back into place and, you know, if you need to cut ties, it's not that big of a deal. But when you're a team that has not been winning, you cannot have that personality around. And I understand cutting ties with him. We need winning mentality. And he just frankly didn't have it. I think when he's in a really good team, it'll probably bring the best out of him. Yeah. But when he's not, it was laziness, showing up late, not taking things seriously. I think Cora wanted him gone for sure.
Yeah. The Yankees and Red Sox are in two different situations. Like, the Red Sox are, in a sense, like, trying to rebuild that culture, build a culture, find their modern-day identity of, like, what this team's going to be like. And having a player like Verdugo who's doing the things you were saying, like, it's really hard to build a winning mentality when there's someone coming in who's supposed to be one of your big players with that type of, like, just style and, like, lackadaisical whatever.
Yeah,
but then the Yankees, like, they're going for it. Like, Verdugo is not pulling his part. They're just not going to play him.
Like, yeah, you're just going to... I mean, that's like a scared straight, like, you know?
And the frustrating part was just the fact that he was traded to the Yankees, where it's such a
fit. For sure. Yeah.
But then I was fully prepared for him to go to the Yankees, but in my brain, the fit that was so perfect, it was like just literally straight up. Glaber for Verdugo, like league average hitters. You need a lefty outfield bat. We need a righty infield bat. Like, let's make it happen. And I don't know. I guess the Red Sox just wanted pitching depth and they got it. But I was just like, I don't know. Like, getting Glaber, which maybe that was too much of an ask. Who knows? But just trade him somewhere else for you know, minor league, like, you know, six starter pitching depth. You know, that's how I felt.
Personally, I would definitely just in general think Glaber has more value than Verdugo. And that's not necessarily a knock at Verdugo. It just, I think a middle infielder with Glaber's bat is more valuable than an outfielder with Verdugo's bat, just overall. But sorry. But
if the shoe fits, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, yep.
My favorite part was, yeah, we'll talk about that in a sec. But yeah, like, I feel like Glaber also has a role on the Yankees now, like, to a point where it wouldn't have made sense to trade him because, like, they don't really have a third baseman. So, like, I think what I'm seeing is, like, DJ LeMahieu is going to play third and Glaber is going to kind of play second and they're going to see what comes of it. And, like, you no longer have to worry about all the righties in your lineup because you've acquired three left-handed outfielders now between Verdugo, Grisham, and Soto. So, I don't know, man. I think it's a phenomenal trade for the Yankees. I've clearly been the biggest Yankees fan on this podcast during its time. And, I mean, I could probably tell you as of right now, I'm going to pick the Yankees to win that division.
Yeah, so, right now, I think that's where I'm going to be going to.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, long off season, things can change, but
yeah, a whole lot of things can change.
I don't see any reason why that would not be my pick to win.
Yeah, the Orioles needed to get like a Sonny Gray, and there's still time.
I would have loved the Orioles to have Sonny Gray. That would have been really cool.
But yeah, they've gotten they got Craig Kimbrel.
Craig Kimbrel.
Which is like cool, but like they need a starter because then they lost they lost what's his face
Kyle Gibson.
Yeah, that was a huge piece for them. So like, I don't know, man. If you're the Orioles, you got to get aggressive.
Yeah, Baltimore's starting pitching depth is leaves a lot to be desired, for sure.
Which we have said before.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said was their largest weakness coming into the season. That I thought that's where they would just completely get broken, and they just kind of made it work. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, right now their penciled in ace is Kyle Bradish.
I mean, maybe
Grayson, he had a good season last year. Don't get me wrong.
I mean,
probably, but
I would say
Bradish.
If you're an Orioles fan, you want Grayson to become that guy, though.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, he's the top prospect, the electric fastball guy.
But we're talking about a young, exciting team that we wanted to sign starting pitching. There is a young, exciting team that did just that. The old Snakes, they said, guess what? We are not satisfied with the trip to the World Series. We want to win the whole thing. They signed Eddie Aces, Eduardo Rodriguez, 4 years, $80 million.
He doesn't want to play on the West Coast, though.
Nah, he just doesn't want to play for the Dodgers.
That's hilarious. Well, here, I will say this. One, that it's just hilarious that he did that, and he was just trying to get some more stuff out of it, which is most likely. But you could also say there's a difference between moving mid-season to the West Coast and in the off season signing and then, you know, having more time to move your family and stuff like that.
There's also a big difference between LA, California and Arizona
and Phoenix,
and Phoenix, Arizona. Like a lot more people are going to be more receptive to living in Phoenix, Arizona than they are to living in LA. Like LA takes a unique person to be able to deal with how busy and disgusting that town can be.
Yeah. But I love this for the Snakes. I mean, Rodriguez has been a good pitcher for pretty much his whole career. I mean, like decent to obviously last year, really good. And now like with the total of his two contracts that he signed over the last couple of years, he's going to be like $100 million man, which I don't think many people had him pegged out at one point. And he, made himself a nice little career. They get their third really solid pitcher with Merrill Kelly, and then Eduardo Rodriguez now, and then Fott had a breakout in September and October, obviously. Hopefully he could continue to take that step forward, and they have other minor league pitching depth. As we have sung the praises of the Diamondbacks for years now, even when things didn't look as good, we're like, look, they're always trying and they're going to spend some money in ways that they can to make their team better. And it's just another example of that. So big shout out to the Arizona Diamondbacks. I mean, yeah, I love this move.
Yep. I agree. Good. A good move for them. Really only one other major trade, I think, that happened that I don't know if we ever talked about was Seattle and the Braves. Atlanta Braves pick up Jared Kelenic, Evan White, and Marco Gonzalez from Seattle. Seattle gets back Cole Phillips and Jackson Coar. Cole Phillips.
Gonzalez and White have both been traded since.
Yes. So yes. They got used as pieces, but point is, the big one of that trade anyway is Jared Kelenic. Yes. Who, a shame to see him leave Seattle. That was a city that I know when we were there, you could tell wanted nothing more than him to be successful.
Yeah, it was, and, it was incredible.
Had a really good start. Well, he had a couple really good chunks of the season and then sort of had that little bit of regression again back to the kind of, oh no, is he a bust? But boy, if there's a team that you can be a part of that's gonna potentially turn that, it's this Atlanta Braves roster, man. That's I'm scared to see how good Kelenic can be for a Braves team.
Yeah, I think in a way there's more pressure there, but there's less because he's gonna be a bench piece. Just needs to play hard and do his job, and just to talk about a winning mentality and confidence throughout just every person in that organization. And to continue talking about the team we were just talking about while talking about the Mariners, also talking about not knowing what they're doing in Seattle, Eugenio Suarez traded to the Diamondbacks as well, a real glue guy there. But yeah, I mean, Kelenic, I think he's going to be really solid in Arizona. I don't know if he's ever going to reach the heights of the hype that once were, but I think it's a perfect fit for him.
And, if he ever reaches that level, Atlanta will be so ridiculous.
That's going to be an obscene roster for sure. I mean, to have that dude out there, if he puts up like we know he's capable of, that's terrifying.
No, for sure. And it's like everything you guys kind of just outlined, like, Dude has all the talent. He has the talent to be a phenomenal MLB hitter. I mean, we saw his stretch at the beginning. Was it the stretch at the beginning of this year?
This year.
Yeah. He went on that tear and just kind of got in a funk, wasn't able to get out of it. But And like you guys said, he's a bench piece. Like, there's not pressure. He could just sit back, learn from the coaches, learn from the other players, put it together. I think he needed to get out of Seattle. There was just, he had to perform there and it just wasn't working. And then J-Rod became that guy. And I think, I don't think there's any issue between the two of them, but mentally that's hard for Kelenic when you're supposed to be that guy.
Yeah, you were supposed to be the guy and then someone else comes along and just does it faster and better than you.
And they are the guy now. And now they're so the it's guy. Just tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, just I think it's clear, especially with the Eugenio Suarez move, that the Mariners want less strikeouts in 2024. But it's also let's make some moves for some good contact hitters then.
Right.
It's kind of getting a little scary out there in Seattle looking at their roster right now.
Which
it was like you
probably
had a really good thing close to some greatness and you're not spending.
I think it's a combination of less strikeouts and saving money. Because then, what's his face? Why am I blanking on his name? Third baseman Suarez, wasn't he making a decent penny? He was making a good amount of money.
Yeah,
sure.
So. It'll be it, but I mean, sort of. Then moving off that is kind of tangentially off that. It'll be interesting to see where somebody like Teoscar Hernandez goes. So
yeah,
Teo, a free agent, coming back to Toronto.
I don't think so.
I don't think he will.
Oh, maybe to Toronto. I don't think he's coming back to Seattle.
No, I don't think he's. That's what I'm. Yeah, I'm saying it'll be interesting to see where he goes because I don't think Seattle would not be on the table.
But yeah, But Seattle needs to do something because
yes,
I'm definitely not going to be banking on JP Crawford putting up another 818 OPS this year. I mean, no. I love me some Crawford. Think he's a very valuable player, but I think
JP that plays OPS
plus is going to be a lot more of a 100 than a 131. This upcoming year.
JP plays a great smooth shortstop, but yeah, he's not. I don't think he's going to put up this year's batting numbers every time.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, speaking of batting numbers, let's talk about who the Giants signed.
Yeah.
My favorite part of this podcast.
Yeah.
And the only reason I wasn't more bitter about Ohtani going to the Dodgers. The Giants have signed Jung Ho Lee to a 6-year, $113 million contract, I believe. Let me double check that number.
113.
113.
Yeah. And there is an opt out after 4 years. So that'll be when he's 29 years old. And it is important to note, because it is the Giants, it is pending a physical.
Of course.
as we found out, contracts can fail at physicals, as we found out with Carlos Correa. So important to note for a Giants fan.
Yep.
But I think it's a great signing. I mean, it gives the Giants a true center fielder, which they've kind of just lacked. I mean, they've been kind of throwing anybody out there. I mean, Chris Bryant played center field for them 2 years ago. Like,
that's wild.
They've literally put anybody they could in the center field. So just getting a true natural center fielder who hits for average, is a good patient hitter. You're not going to see a ton of strikeouts, hopefully. And
yeah, he strikes out very about quick, half as gets much a lot as he walks. He's very much a patient hitter.
And sometimes you see players struggle with that when they first come over. But usually that's a skill that exists and they just need to see the pitching. So like you just need reps and you got to like figure it out, because like, it's the average fastball is like, I think 6 miles per hour faster in the MLB as compared to the Korean League. But like he's still seeing all the nasty movement. He just needs reps. And like, I think that's a skill that's a skill that will translate.
Yeah, we'll see. I know. From my brief time watching KBO pretty consistently in 2020, it is an offense heavy league. The defense is definitely not Japanese baseball. It's not the same. I think there's a lot more hits to be had in KBO, partially because of that defense. And then of course the pitching difference. But this guy's beautiful swing, got all the hype around him. I'm really hoping he's going to be successful in MLB, but I think KBO, especially when it comes to guys that rely on the average a little bit more, it does scare me a little bit. But I mean, this is a guy that 2 years ago, 36 doubles, 23 homers in 142 games. So he's definitely got some pop as well.
And he's the reigning MVP.
Yep.
So shout out him. He has 5 golden gloves out there. So I'm pumped to see hopefully a Golden Glove center fielder, because that's something the Giants can definitely use. I mean, it's a top of the lineup hitter. The Giants have really been missing a guy at the top who hits for average and speed. They kind of just had the same prototype of hitter all throughout their lineup. And I think they could really use the variety. I'm very pumped about the signing. If the Giants want to compete, it has to be the start of the offseason, not the end. We definitely need a starting pitcher, like a top-end starting pitcher, if you want to compete, and probably another bat. I know one name that's been all around the Giants is Matt Chapman. Me and Adam were talking about this a little bit beforehand.
Yep.
Matt Chapman, I mean, the Bob Melvin connection. He kind of worries me. I mean, he's going into his age 31 year. Like, he hasn't had an OPS in the eights in 3 years. So, like, I do have my worries about giving Matt Chapman a lot of money, but it's definitely still a bat the Giants can use. It's better than anything we have at third base right now. And so I'd be pumped about that. The Giants' name is out there a lot with Yamamoto. I'm going to be honest, I don't think that's going to happen. But yeah, I would love if it does. I mean,
let's see.
The Giants are willing to spend the money, so who knows, but...
Let's name one person that you'd be nervous to give money to. I know Brian mentioned Matt Chapman
with
the age and the lack of 800 OPS. I definitely have a name that's at the front of my list. I hear a lot of Red Sox fans naming, and that's Blake Snell. I mean, it's a lot of walks. It's two Cy Young seasons, no doubt, but also some inconsistency there as well. And he is going to require a lot of money in order to really lock him up. And I just don't know what that's going to be. Like, that could, I mean, like last year's 180 innings, awesome. But you could just be looking at 125 innings from him, realistically.
I would say if you sign Snell, you have to be expecting like 120 to 140. Like, that's what you're expecting if you sign him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then I am not, I would love Yamamoto, but I do hear some of these people that say, yeah, he's 25, but he's 5'10 and is used to pitching once every 7 days.
Sure.
So take that guy who's flinging it, you know, in the upper 90s and do it every 5 days. It seems like at some point there's might be some injury.
There is a lot of worries about his height, because they're like 5'11 tends to be the like kind of deciding height number, where like if you're below 5'11, it's a lot harder to be like, I mean, very few pitchers are below 5'11. I think Sonny Gray and like Stroman are the only really two very notable ones currently.
But like, let it be known, I'm a Yamamoto believer, but I do hear
same.
The Warriors.
I'm not too worried if the Giants sign him. I have one other guy I'm worried about, but I'll let Adam go first in case it's this guy.
Probably not. I know a lot of the rumors for the Jays are reunion signings. Teoscar Hernandez and Lourdes Gurriel are both free agents. There are rumors of that potentially happening if somebody like Kevin Kiermaier or Whit Merrifield ends up walking in free agency. I would be worried with something like it, as much as I love Teoscar Hernandez and I love Lourdes Gurriel. I would be worried if they go for reunion signings like that, because they're just, it feels like, oh no, you were slipping into the same prototype that the Jays have been, and that ends up being pretty bad.
Dude, I feel like reunion signings are always just the safe signing.
Yeah.
And like, safe isn't necessarily always the move you want.
Yes. I would much rather them fork over stupid money for somebody like Cody Bellinger. Ooh. And go for something interesting, go for something potentially big, than be like, you know, rehome so, a guy that you traded.
Speaking of Cody Bellinger, that's kind of my other guy I'm worried about. Like, I feel like the 2023 Chicago Cubs Cody Bellinger has everybody forgetting about the 3 years prior.
Sure.
Where Cody Bellinger like forgot how to hit. Like, I would be very nervous about giving Cody Bellinger money based on last year's performance only. And I kind of feel like that's what's going on right now. Like, everybody's just willing to throw away the 2020, 2021, 2022. And maybe Bellinger did find something out and it'll be fine. Like, look, if the Giants sign Bellinger, which they're rumored to still be interested in him, which would be very interesting after signing Jung-Ho Lee.
Yeah,
because they have Haniger and then they have, oh, Conforto's gone though. But it still would be very interesting because you have Yaz and Slater still. But like, I have my worries about Bellinger.
The end dollar amount is going to factor that for me, because certain amounts of money.
I agree.
I think some of the tweaks that he's talked about in terms of, you know, sacrificing power, being more contact oriented, has me like confident that he is going to be a, you know, mid 700s OPS or higher. And then with really good outfield defense and then incredible versatility, which is like, that is really valuable, you know. But I don't know, it depends. If it's like 200 million, something like that, then it's, my team does it, I'm excited but worried. But if, you know, if you're paying that, you know, 20 million a year, something like that, like, I think he's gonna hold pretty good value no matter what, and possibly exceed that.
Get Bellinger for like 140, 150 ish, depending on the years, obviously. But like, sure. I think that's kind of the sweet spot.
Now, when his contract gets that 200 plus, the 220, if it gets up there, that's where I become nervous. I very much agree with you. I mean, Cody Bellinger's potential is elite, right? Like, we've seen him have a one dot season, even last year. Like,
yeah, we've seen he was. I mean, we've seen MVP Belly. Like,
yeah, no, for sure.
Dude was incredible in 2019.
Yeah. And in 2023, he was phenomenal. He was the leader of that Chicago Cubs team. I mean, he willed them throughout that season. Like, I do not think the Cubs have anywhere near that success without Cody Bellinger last year. And if he's that player, like, yeah, you pay $220 for that guy.
Yeah.
But who is Cody Bellinger? And having that question makes this contract very interesting. I'll be very intrigued where he ends up. I mean, there was a list of teams that are still talking to him. It's like everyone that was in on Jung Ho Lee. I think they said it was like the Padres, which doesn't make sense to me. The Blue Jays, the Giants, and like someone else. So it'll be interesting where he ends up.
Where are all the states where weed is legal? Because those are the those are definitely the finalists for Bellinger. He's like, you want me to settle down for a long time? He's like, I know where I gotta be.
Is it legal in Chicago? Maybe that's why he was good last year.
What? I don't know.
No idea.
Maybe it's not legal, and that's, you know.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, because he was in California starting to struggle.
Oh, let's see. Let's see.
This is our...
yeah, what's...
tinfoil cap moment right here.
Oh, yeah, it's legal. Oh, wait, yeah, it's legal.
No. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Recreationally and medically, yeah.
Okay.
So there we go. Well, got anything else? Because if not, I gotta figure out what I'm doing for some din, you know.
Ooh. I think I'm pretty good.
Who do you think is the next big free agent to actually come off the table?
I think Yamamoto is pretty safe guess, just because he has the like 30-day limit.
Sure. I guess outside of foreign signings.
Let's see.
So like your top expected value ones are Bellinger, Snell, Jordan Montgomery is a free agent, Matt Chapman, Josh Hader, Marcus Stroman.
I'm going to go Montgomery. I think he's not going to fetch the same amount as Snell. I'm going to go Montgomery.
I feel like, I don't know. That's a tough one. Next big signing. Maybe whoever the Dodgers give money to, they're going to do it soon.
Ooh,
there was some talk, okay. Josh Hader. There was some Josh Hader talk. He might be the next one.
Yeah, Hader was one that was on my list as far as being I think he's going
to
get
Shane Bieber and Emmanuel Clase traded to the Los Angeles Dodgers.
That would be spicy.
First.
I'd be so mad.
I think Stroman probably gets moved pretty soon.
Really? Is he under contract? Or is he like supposed to be traded? Or is
no?
He
he's a free agent, but he was
I feel like
it was so
such a weird end to after such a great start.
Yeah, he had such a great start, but there was constant trade talk and constant movement talk that I feel like I feel like Stroman's been talking to teams for like 6 months.
But I also feel like Stroman's a guy who's going to take his time. Like, I feel like he wants to see how free agency plays out and then sign.
Could be.
Like, I don't know. Stroman wouldn't shock me if he takes his time. Yeah. But who knows? I have
Reese
no guess.
Hoskins to the Giants. You heard it here first. I like that fit.
Yeah.
Reese Hoskins where?
To the Giants. To your Giants.
Oh, let's go. I'd love that.
Blue Jays full reunion outfield. Randall Grichuk, Lourdes Gurriel, and Teoscar Hernandez.
Jose Bautista.
Jose Bautista. Who else? Hold on. The Jays could actually reunion their outfield for like multiple eras, because Gurriel's a free agent. Teoscar Hernandez is a free agent. Who did I just say? Randall Grichuk is a free agent. Kevin Pillar is a free agent.
Giants reunion and get Gary Sanchez again.
Yeah.
Oof.
That is absurd.
That is absurd. Okay.
Patrick Bailey is the truth.
Patrick Bailey, the truth. Love it. Well,
and I will see you guys next time.
Later.